Thank you. So, adultery, James says, is loving the world's ways. Right? Be attached to the world's ways. Attached to the shiny car rather than what comes with the suitcase, with the restricted suitcase. Swearing falsely. We've talked about this. To bear false witness. Any behavior, any lifestyle that says God is not king, that his order is not the only way to flourishing. And I swear falsely, I behave in such a way that God is not king, that God's order is not the way of flourishing, because I'm ashamed of God's restrictive suitcase. I'm ashamed that of his order. I'm ashamed that he says, you may do this, you may not do this. It seems like my God is just too restrictive. And then it says, you'll be judged if you make it a practice to oppress the vulnerable, to extort, use force, or intimidate in order to wrong the vulnerable, in order to disrespect the vulnerable, in order to dishonor the vulnerable. Because that's a different reality. God loves the vulnerable. Because the vulnerable actually received the die. The ones without the film of disloyalty. And lastly, he says, second to lastly, he says, turning aside the alien. He says, oppressing or afflicting one who comes to visit or stay, wanting to be as one of you. When he talks about aliens, he's talking about those who want to come into the community of Judaism. He says these are people who want to come in and be part of the community. And because they want to be part of the community, you invite them in, but you also expect them then to submit to the same way of life you have. The same way of life that God has already ordained. It's the context of taking the community, people in the community, as people who want to be part of that community and thus want to follow the same rules. We are supposed to support those. We are not to turn them aside.
That's why he chose the people of Israel. Blessing of the nations.
Yes.
It's meant to.
Yes. Exactly. That was their whole. So if they turn aside the alien, they were again, like Rebecca said, they were divorcing their own priesthood. Mm-hmm. That we are not priests. And lastly, to sum it up, he says, those will be condemned, be judged, those who do not fear the Lord of hosts. They are honoring God as the one and only King. All of these things are representative. Whenever you have a list, it's almost always representative of any lifestyle that isn't participating in reality. They're ashamed of God's order, and thus they disconnect from it to create their own reality that makes sense to them, that fulfills their picture. And lastly, God says the other evidence that Yahweh is going to return, that he's going to return with a test of endurance. But Yahweh never changes. God does not change. He will not consume the sons of Jacob because he is a faithful king to his people whom he is in covenant with. But we have to be careful with that because we know that the sons of Jacob has to be defined. So when we talk about, the New Testament will talk about sons of Abraham. When we talk about the sons of Abraham, Abraham had two sons, but which one is a real son?
Isaac.
Why?
Because it came from Sarah.
One of promise.
Because he's under the covenant. Mm-hmm. How did Ishmael get born?
Through
somebody saying, I can get this done, mm-hmm. Not God. Outside the covenant, right? Mm-hmm. The covenant is what God does, how God chooses. So Isaac has two sons. And again, this is over and over in Scripture. Again, Isaac has two sons. But which one is really a son of Abraham? Why?
Because God chose him.
Because God chose him, and he actually remained under the covenant. What did Esau do? He gave up the ability to be under the covenant. And he kept saying, I can get life for myself. All different ways throughout his entire life. So that for centuries, he continued to stay outside of the covenant, even though there was always invitation for Esau, Edom, to come under the covenant that God had provided. It wasn't what he looked like. It was a suitcase that said, got to get rid of this and this, Esau. You got to get rid of the idea that you're on top, but you're welcome to come in. And he says, no. So that when he says he will not consume the sons of Jacob, in Galatians it tells us, make sure you know who truly is that. Who is a son of Abraham? It is to be like Abraham. It is Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. But what is the context of that when Abraham was declared righteous? You remember that? What was happening? What was Abraham asked to do?
Sacrifice Isaac.
Sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was the representative of all the benefits of the covenant. Because through Isaac, he would get prosperity, descendants, land, a king. And so God was saying, are you focused on the benefits or on the relationship? That's why it was that event that God declared, Abraham trusts me. Because he cares more about the relationship than the benefits. Luke 3 says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that even from these stones, God is able to raise up sons to Abraham. God will not consume the sons of Jacob. He will not consume those who are trusting God, who say, I am not ashamed of God as king. God is king. His order is the way to flourishing. And that relationship is what will bring me life, not the benefits of that relationship. And in not consuming the sons of Jacob, he's always going to give an invitation to return until that last day. So that a reasonable response is to repent, to take seriously the discipline of our king. Return to thinking that God the king knows what he's doing, knows best how to run the world, that he's providing us with the essentials to enjoy sharing relationship and purpose with God the king. The discipline is a calling out of the unnecessary things that we're packing that won't fit into the suitcase in order to leave room for what is necessary, a commitment to covenant, a commitment to community, a commitment to our companion. So the suitcases that I sent you with, that I gave you with, if you want, and maybe you need to think through this, I think a great verse would be to write, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And when we talk about gospel, remember, we're talking about that God is king, that his kingdom order brings flourishing. So I am not ashamed of God, nor of his kingdom order. For it is the power of God for salvation, for life, for everyone who trusts him. So that we need to take seriously the discipline by submitting to it. Understanding that the discipline is, although painful, is necessary and good. And I gave you all those New Testament verses that call that out. But not just receiving the discipline, actively participating in it, so that if my right eye sins, causes me to sin, pluck it out. Put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the body. So that we don't need to ask, how shall we return? That's what they ask him at the end of this. How shall we return? He's already told them. Live out of my love. live out of that suitcase that I'm restricting you to so that you can actually enjoy relationship and purpose participating in that with the king. So, we lastly put this up. The charge is you've insisted on justice without righteousness. The next time you say, that's unfair, think about that. Your sentence is to change your thinking about justice. Take seriously the king's discipline. You need it in order to be ready to receive his life. And I wish I would have thought to buy some Rit dye and actually dip this in, and you would see how easily it would take a second for this, because it's raw now, nothing on it. That's where Malachi is striving to make sure we understand that the refining process is necessary. And if we're not willing to be under the refining process, if we're not willing to say, our king is a good king and his restrictions are good for me so that I may share and participate in his relationship, we're going to be judged. And we have to be ready because it will come suddenly. Father, thank you that you care so much about us receiving full life, that you care so much that you risk your reputation, that you risk us saying, I'm kind of ashamed of you. I'm kind of like, I don't really like your ideas of what life is. Father, thank you for risking that. Thank you for being vulnerable enough with that, knowing that it is for our good that we might receive your life, the life that is flourishing rather than a life that ends up with just a shiny car to live out of. Father, I pray that we would celebrate the suitcases you've given us because we know that it means we get to participate and enjoy living with you now. May we be priests who reveal that to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.